Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Thanks for supporting the Fable and Folly Network. Here's another show we know you'll love.
Every day in the nice little Canadian town of Beaver Mount, Ontario, is pretty much the same. Folks are polite. There's a hockey game that evening. And someone gets brutally murdered. Sorry About the Murder, a very Canadian murder mystery podcast. New episodes weekly. Listen to season one now by typing Sorry About the Murder into your favorite podcast app.
Ah, ben là!
Welcome to Dungeons and Dragons. We're all recording, right?
Yeah.
Okay. 300,000 downloads, everybody.
Yeah, we did it.
Wait a minute. Is this thing on? Tap, tap, tap.
Because we're professionals.
That's right. Welcome to Dungeons and Dragons. I'm your Dungeon Master, Russ Moore. He, him. Also with me today is Tom Laird.
He, him. And yes, I am here.
And Amy Moore.
She, her. Playing myself. Also she, her.
And Carla Maxted's here, too.
She, her. Also playing myself. Or am I playing Carla Johnson? I play both of those roles in my daily life.
Mm. Did I say Johnson or Maxted?
No, you said Maxted.
Oh, okay, yeah. Good.
She's just doing a thing where she plays her alter ego, maiden self.
I thought I was getting low key.
Do you think I was passive?
Yeah.
I was passive aggressively calling you out for using my old name.
Which I
you
mean,
were being admonished.
That you may do.
I've done it.
Yeah.
Truth. Hey, we're here today to celebrate and answer your questions. First, celebrating because we've reached and now passed 300,000 downloads.
What? Oh my gosh. Thank
guys,
you, guys.
That's so many downloads.
Non-binary pals. Oh my gosh.
Too many downloads, really.
Not
so many.
No, not too okay. many. Don't say right. that. But I mean, it's still a crazy number that we
it's
love.
Such a big number.
And we couldn't have done it without you.
Couldn't. Because if you're not downloading, it's just me and my bots.
I knew
and
it.
We've all established that. They,
I feel like. Yeah, I have to admit, at this point, so 300,000 plus downloads in, it is possible that it's not just Russ.
There's a slight chance.
Downloading the episode over and over again on all of his devices, which is great.
Well, see, I told you, everybody. You just got to do it a little bit at the start to get it out of the game.
Right.
But after that, the snowball just
takes off by itself.
Right.
Yeah. No bots were hired in the making of this podcast. But we've been asking for questions on our Facebook and Twitter and in Discord. Links are down in the description if you want to join us over there, where we post a lot of these questions and have a lot of fun. So we're going to dive right in because we want to answer all the important questions. Who wants to read one first?
Oh, I do.
Do it.
Okay. Larry from Ohio, this looks like a Twitter question, asks, my question is, why isn't Flamekins in every episode?
Why isn't Flamekins in every episode?
Why isn't Flamekins?
That's a good question.
Because
probably would be hard on Russ's voice.
Yeah, I think the toll it would take on Russ's voice box is just too much.
And then going to bed with that at night would be upsetting.
The pause in there was very telling.
So, we'll take this as a serious question and give it a serious answer.
Okay, well,
Flamekins is a free spirit who can't be contained by all episodes.
Also, she's got her own shit going on. And also, it's a more like technical thing, not all characters stick around all the time because they come in when they're needed and they leave when their time is done.
Yeah, they come in when they're needed. They get stuck in a maze forever.
Mm-hmm.
They fix
the maze.
And then
eventually they get to leave.
Yeah. Because they.
And then they don't come back because, I mean, we get stuck in mazes fairly often. So
yeah, and they might get stuck in a maze again. Who wants that?
We should also say that if this is your first episode, or you're not completely caught up on the story, there will be spoilers, most likely, guaranteed.
Yeah.
That's a good thing.
If you don't want
top.
To that, just listen to it once you've listened to everything.
If you don't want to that.
If you don't want to that,
just wait and listen when you do a want to.
And now we're going to take the question as it was really written. Why isn't Flamykins in every episode, guys? What do you got against Flamykins?
Nothing. She's great.
Love Don't Flamykins. Put tone on stuff. This is Twitter. They couldn't even bold anything.
That's right.
Relax. And we love Flamykins.
Hope that answers your question at Larry Welsh Jr. on Twitter. Thank you very much for your question. Next question.
I'll do it. We'll go alphabetical by first name. I love it.
Perfect.
Question from Christopher. Only one question for Amy. Do you have a doghouse? And just how long has Russ been sleeping in it?
Well, you know what? When you play D&D, or I'm assuming any sort of long-running game that your significant other is generally the puppet master of. So, you know, it could be like a basketball team. They're like, you know, the head coach or like the captain or something like that. And you just really got to make sure to keep that stuff out of your marriage. I mean, we josh around, but we don't really take anything out of this room, because if so, he would be in the doghouse all the time. And because I sometimes straight up feel targeted.
But we still in the darkest timeline? Still in the doghouse.
That's right. But generally not. We take, like, frankly, I really am enjoying the mix up of, you know, like things are getting a little spookier for Thea and Yenville and Tom's new character.
You get really quiet all of a sudden.
Tolgear?
Oh, sorry. Tolgear. Yeah.
Really, really whispering.
I'm so well because I forgot Tom's character's name.
Tolgear.
So, yeah, I don't know. Not everything he does is really as bad as we make it out to be, because we just love to razz on him so much.
But also every 3 weeks, probably.
Yeah.
That's probably the real answer there.
Absolutely.
So thank you for your question, Christopher. Next question comes from Phoebe over on our Discord. Please explain the graveyard puzzle in the Hillop Windmill Adventure.
Yeah, Russ, please explain that.
Yes, please, Russ.
Because I do believe I got it right on one go and you were like, no, you didn't say Z-E-D.
I can't really remember. I do
remember
that.
You texted like a picture. Yeah. And there was,
on, there was little gravestones.
With yep. letters on them.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And we had to
say
the letters.
And we had to spell it out loud, right?
Yeah.
Are you saying it because I didn't say it in character and therefore you did not take Amy's answer?
I don't recall saying that you got it wrong when you got it right.
I did definitely said Z-E-D.
Okay, well, this is how long ago that was. I don't even remember.
Oh, so long ago.
He's having to bring up the dungeon.
It's possible we spoke over each other.
Yeah, that is.
That happens. Possible.
Yeah.
And he didn't hear it? I can't remember.
No, it's not in this one. But that was a one-page adventure that I pulled. But yeah, it was, like, they had to look at the gravestone. Like, it was one past the thing.
One is above it, and one is beside it, and one is...
I explain the puzzle? I can't anymore, because that was...
If we somehow stumble across the photo... Yeah.
I'll find it.
Maybe, but...
Yeah, I'll find it and post it in the Discord. But yeah, there was clearly a solution to it.
Clearly.
We'll leave it at that. What's the next question, Tom?
Well, there's like three or four in a row here from Jess.
Let's split those.
So we'll
ones
start
up.
With the first one. Yeah. Name me a moment you each enjoyed that happened to another player or character, not your own. And I'm going to go with New Lara's trip home. Not the final trip home, but the trip home to talk to all of her brothers. I just thought it was a really, really nice moment.
Real wholesome. Oh.
Tell the bad stuff happened.
Yeah.
That
so, yeah, not
that
the final trip
nice.
Home.
No, yeah,
but,
you killed a man that night.
I know.
Yeah, well, that was the thing. Like, it was so nice.
It's
and
like so
and then,
wholesome
like,
and nice.
Horrible dagger shit happened, and it was like, oh, yep, all right.
All right, Russ is still here.
Could you? Maybe that's like, that was like the moment that everything really started to go downhill for
true.
New Lara.
Mm-hmm. It's true.
I'm, yeah. You go.
Yeah, yeah. Mine is also about New Lara, but when she got to ride T-Rexes.
Ooh, yeah, that was good.
I thought and also just seeing the look on Carla's face, because she was so excited. And I was jealous, but very excited for Dular. I thought that was the coolest thing.
Gosh, I feel like I love everything that isn't my people. So, so it's hard to say. I did like those home visits because I'm thinking too about like when Flint went to see his sister and his mom, like that was good. And Thea too, like...
was a sassy teen, yeah.
But they like, you know, like I think that whole idea of like, okay, we're gonna go save the world, so we're gonna
tie up
like
some
say our
ends.
Goodbyes. Yeah, was good. I love Leosin. I have so much empathy for Leosin all the time.
All of the time.
If you've ever been in a managerial position, I think you can really connect
like
with
it's
Leosin.
Just like, oh, this poor guy just wants to do his job, and us fuck ups keep coming around.
Yeah. Leosin's a fun character to play because he's had a very clear character arc where, and he's been through pretty much the entire thing. Like, I mean, Flamekins has been around, but she comes in like fits and spurts, and she's always really the same character every time she comes in. But Leosin like changes every single time, and now he's made this leap with you in his own way, and now he's completely different. I love it. But not my own characters. I really like the home episodes, but everybody else said those. I really loved when, like, as Mook, Glim, and Sully were meeting each other, like when we finally tied those threads so that we could play together. Like, I liked that whole journey getting into those characters and them finding their way as they're going. It really, I think, helped everyone in this room and probably everybody listening too, just establish the differences between them and Plinthia, New Lara, Yenbul, Lex. How many more do we want to get? Lipsinky.
How many more of Carla's characters do we want to mention?
There's so many. Yeah, that's such a good point though, Russ. Like, even just so when... Sully and Glim are in the prison and then Moot is outside with and makes the crab claw, I think for the first time.
Yeah.
Oh, I love it. And it just, was such a different vibe, obviously, because they were like these little babies and how we like made friends and how I feel like those characters have like evolved together. Like you can see changes happening in the way they are. Like, Sully is like opening up a little bit,
softening
and Glim is like, not quite so starry eyed. Yeah. And I think that's fun. And Moot is just like shrinking
and going to all the buffets. Yeah. He's just taking it all in.
How has Moot been growing? Like, well, downwards and horizontally.
Yeah,
it's fine. Yeah, living
your
life.
He's enjoying himself.
Yeah.
That's funny. Yeah. I think those were, we say that we all like the wholesome moments. Yeah, we go dark.
Because I can mention one more.
Sure,
I'll mention one more. Sully using the scroll.
Oh yeah,
just like let's do whatever this thing is, and then like absolutely liquefying people like. Oh, fuck.
Yeah. I learned a valuable lesson today.
I was going to say that probably was a growth lesson, right? Because it was like, there's like serious consequences.
Yeah. Well, because I told Russ, I was like, I'm going to use a scroll. And you're like, now? And I'm like, why the fuck not?
That's right.
Sully doesn't know what it means.
Nope.
No.
Sure. Yeah. Go for it.
I feel like we've been able to do a little bit more of. What would my character do in this moment? Whereas I feel like Thea really is an embodiment of Amy and like be like, what would I do in this moment? No, Sully is very much Sully.
Well, yeah, it's the difference of when we started with Flint, Thea, and New Lara, like we were just playing
ourselves.
Yeah.
Like with magic powers.
We had no intention really when we started of ever using these characters 5 years. But we did.
Yeah. Carl was like, otherwise I wouldn't have chosen a human. Human Ranger. What was I talking about?
But we did. And I mean, it definitely worked and we found ourselves along the way. But yeah, we set into this one playing characters with Mook, Glim, and Sully rather than finding the characters with Flint, Thea, and New Lara after we had already been playing them a certain way. Mm-hmm. So good on everybody. You did good. I like it.
All right, we're only three questions in.
I know, but this next one rolls in so well.
Do you want to read the next one?
Sure.
Yeah. All four of us.
How has your character changed from session one to their present existence? Let's start with the OG characters. Flint Thea. Well, I mean, we know how New Lara changed, but.
Well, she went from living to not living anymore.
Yeah.
Yep.
So it was a real transition.
It's a pretty big change.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, through that, there's an arc. So yeah, Flint Thea and New Lara.
I'll go for it first. When I made Flint, the idea was, like, I didn't know if Rangers were good fighters or not, basically. So I thought, oh, I'll make this guy who is, like, a fighter through and through. But I made him more, like, a defensive fighter in session one. Like, he had a shield and he had bonuses because he had that skill set.
Yeah.
And, I mean, there was a certain point, I don't remember exactly when it happened, but, like, I just transitioned him instead to, like, all out. Fucking two-handed axe, son of a bitch. And yeah, so I mean, that's the main way that he changed. Is originally he was like defensive and, you know, trying to help, you know, his cohorts not get hit, not, you know, do the most damage that he could do. But yeah, somewhere along the line that switched, and damage is fun, y'all. Yeah.
Could it be when you almost died because you were a fighter, so we sent you to fight, and then. But that was so early. That was before we were even recording. That was around the table. And it was like, oh, damn, these characters might die.
Yeah. But that's pretty close to when he got that first good, like, two-handed axe. Mm-hmm. I don't remember the guy that we killed, but Russ was surprised that we chose to fight him instead of, like, paying him a bribe and going on his way.
Yeah, we didn't know running away was an option.
You still sometimes don't.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Yeah. That's fair. Yeah, and then I got, like, that big two-handed kind of bastard axe, and it was like, oh, yeah, well, this is a thing that is, like, all the other disadvantages are outweighed by how good this thing is, so let's do this.
Yeah.
Also, Tom, you must add in, one point, Flint was full-on dwarf, and now he's... Yep. Not
he's changed
quite.
A little bit that way too.
He's mostly dragonborn at this point. Yeah. If we go into current present, yeah,
and he's comatose, whereas before he was conscious.
Yeah. So, there we go. Big changes.
The moment if I'm pretty sure we mentioned it, but when Flint died, quote unquote, around that was when we were playing around the table and we were playing through Horde of the Dragon Queen. So there's this big dragon that's attacking, and then. One of the Cult of the Dragon, like, higher-ups shows up and is like, bring me your strongest warrior. And little
Flint. So, yeah, obviously I win.
Little baby Flint, level 3, I think, at that point, comes storming out. And,
it's me!
Hey, guys, let's do this thing.
It is I!
And it was it.
And he got cut down quickly.
Yeah. Death-saving throws were needed.
It was a one-shot. Like, yeah. It was a battle that was meant to be lost, though.
Thanks for putting us in that situation on our first game.
Sometimes the battles are meant to be lost.
Like even in the adventure module, it's like as soon as this happens, the guy walks away and the clerics come out and heal whoever dies. Like there's no risk other than, you know, if you're actually RPing your character, they just died. But yeah, that was a fun moment. And do we want to do, or we're going Flint, Thea, New Lara?
Go for it, Carla.
Okay.
Yeah, Carla, tell us how New Lara has changed.
So, yes, obviously one big change between alive and dead. But also I really wanted her to be like a real asshole in the beginning, and I just could not maintain that at all.
Yeah, you tried.
It just didn't work. Yeah, I guess I don't actually like being a jerk to my friends as a character. So... that didn't really stick. She got like pretty soft by the end.
Well, you got soft with like Flint and Thea, but I think you maintained it like in NPC interact.
Not a jerk, but more like
I think she was like
just
brought.
Like to the point. Yeah.
Just a hard
was, like,
person.
A bit like a bit cold, but yes, but definitely like warmed up and had her like BFF ship with Thea and you know, pillow fights and hair braids.
That's
and
right.
I think that was good for her because she grew up with all those brothers. So it was nice to have like a female friend.
Agreed.
Yeah. How about Thea?
Thea started out as just like, God, the flirtiest virgin.
True.
Yeah. She would hit on anybody and very much into the marijuanas. And that I feel like fairly quickly transitioned out of that. I feel like she started to grow up a little bit as, you know, things started to like maybe not go her way very much. She evolved into a little bit more of a like still quippy, but maybe a little bit more serious, less stoner druid and more living up to maybe what her parents wish she would be, her birthright. So
that's right.
And then, of course, she was always fairly carefree. And then, of course, New Lara died and much less carefree and quite tortured now.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Darkest timeline.
It's dark.
It's dark. This one is from New Year Old LA. What are your favorite NPCs and would you consider playing them in the event of a character death?
Beefy Stew and yes.
Nice. Yeah.
Wait, have you designed Moot to become the next Beefy Stew? Oh.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Russ.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, don't know what you're talking
I'll
about.
I'll edit that one out in post.
I feel like any of the longer running NPCs, I'd say no, because those feel like Russ's characters. Mm-hmm. Like, so I wouldn't. Yeah. Besides, it is more fun to just have 100 new characters. Get on board, guys.
Yeah. Everybody do it.
That's right. I think I would choose. Who's the Zedmark clerk?
Steveson.
Oh, I think I would play Steveson.
Steveson's good.
Yeah.
It's like a non-creepy Arvid.
Yeah.
A little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very helpful.
Yeah.
Very helpful.
That's what we're all about at Zedmark.
You got it.
It's all the help. Thank you for your question, LA.
I'll take this next one. Adam says, will Moot ever get those 6 inches back? No.
We'll see how the dice rolls, maybe.
Yeah.
It's possible.
I mean, the last session we played, I had 2 crit fails, so I had to wild magic surge twice, but neither one of them did I land on grow 6 inches. Yeah. So,
wild magic, we even looked it up after to be like, is this a timed thing? And then, no, he just shrinks. He will never get back the 6 inches, because if it's even, he loses on that roll. If it's odd, he gains. So
it's either he could gain 7 inches.
He could, yeah, but he'll never be the same height again.
Oh,
huh, that's fun.
Yeah, magic's crazy.
Hmm.
And Adam has a quick follow-up question. Can potatoes become a franchise like Zedmark?
I think that they could possibly end up being, you know how there's like McDonald's and Walmart?
Potatoes could be in Zedmark.
Yeah.
In Zedmark. Oh, I like this.
They did get a lot of good business tips, so maybe.
Well, yeah, once they kind of figured out price point and like
it's how the economy works.
Yeah. Stan asks, why won't you guys accept that Grancis is one of the greatest friends that ever helped you?
Because
I think we have accepted that. We just actively rebel against that acceptance.
Yeah.
Yeah, agreed. Yeah.
Yeah, maybe.
Like, in terms, we have had NPCs that have made our lives a lot harder.
Sure.
But we have not been harder on any of them.
I just want to know, though, like, give me the list. And this is also podcast amnesia, something that completely exists to people who make podcasts and have so many episodes. Give me like the top 3 things that you've moved the thing. The Grancis. Top 3 things that Grancis.
She forgot his name.
No, that Grancis has ever helped us with.
Grancis.
So what has he helped us with exactly?
I mean, he saved you.
Okay, yeah, but we get saved a lot by a lot of people.
Airship.
Yeah,
he drove us around.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He made us pancakes.
Yeah.
Fine.
Well,
he picked you. Yeah. He made you. You know, he was a good chauffeur. You know, a good designated driver.
I guess so.
Okay.
He just seemed like the convenient guy who had a car.
After he died, he like showed up spirit wise and like saved the fucking day for us.
Yeah.
Yeah, but we didn't know that.
Yeah, that's right.
Fair. You know what? Fair. Yeah. I take it all back.
Yeah, the characters don't know that.
That's right. Character knowledge, player knowledge, Tom. I'm just saying, he also got us into a lot of sticky situations with the Grungs. Like, what were you thinking, Grancis? I don't know. I say he's barely breaking even at this point.
He's Breaking Bad is what he's doing.
Oh, dear.
He's Walt White. Yeah.
He's Walt White?
It's the darkest timeline. He comes back as Walter White. Yeah.
Oh, dear.
Turns out Grancis is Orcus.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
He's taken over. Yes. He drove Orcus out because he's so annoying.
Oh, dear.
Real twist turn at the end there. Another question from Jess. Is there a scene you wish had turned out differently through it all?
Hi. I'm Yusuf Dahl, and when I was 18, I was convicted of selling drugs. For the past 3 years, I've had difficulty finding housing because it is legal in the United States to discriminate against individuals that have a past drug distribution conviction on their record for life. It doesn't matter if it was a hard drug like heroin or a drug that's now legal or partially legal in many states across the country, like marijuana. The Thurman Amendment was introduced to the Fair Housing Act in 1988 by segregationist Strom Thurmond, and it's since been used to deny housing to all people. But because people of color are disproportionately jailed for drug charges, we are affected more. My goal is to overturn this amendment to start an end to housing discrimination that unfairly targets people of color. If you would like to join this movement, please visit ThurmanAmendment.org to learn more.
A message from the Fable and Folly Network. Looking to get out of the ads and back to the story? Fable and Folly Plus is a new way to support the creators you love. The podcast you're listening to right now and more than 60 others can be heard ad-free for as little as $4 a month by visiting fableandfolly.com/plus. And now you'll start to see Fable and Folly Network shows are offering bonus content to all existing and new supporters. Find exclusive new episodes from shows like Civilized and Realms of Peril and Glory. Fable and Folly Plus. Sign up today at fableandfolly.com/plus. The Fable and Folly Network supports creators of exceptional audio stories, including the one you're listening to right now. If you love our shows, we want to hear from you. Complete our listener survey at fableandfolly.com/survey. This will help us learn more about you, what you like, what you'd like to hear more of, and how we can maintain an inclusive, safe atmosphere. As a thank you for your participation, we have extras and behind-the-scenes content from your favorite shows. Fans make the network what it is. Thanks for listening, and we can't wait to hear from you. Find our listener survey at fableandfolly.com/survey today.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh.
There was a druid book I was supposed to have.
It did turn out differently.
It did, but I wish it would turn out differently again. Because I still didn't get what I wanted, which was the book.
You know what you would have found out in that book?
Just pictures of dicks.
Druids like the earth and tree dicks.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That tracks.
Yeah. Right, yeah.
Magic comes
that.
From the... Actually, there probably would have been some good questions in there.
No.
Now that I think about the darkest timeline, like that could explain some things.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Whatever. Maybe that book will come back to me. Anyway, that's my answer. That I wish that Russ hadn't forced me to put that book into the water. Shut your mouth.
Force you.
This is not your answer to this question. This is my answer to this question. Marriage. Doghouse. No, just kidding.
Anybody else?
I'm trying to think of one. Carla, if you have one, you go for it.
I don't think, like, nothing springs to mind. I mean, you think there's an obvious one, but I actually think that, like, all worked out how it was supposed to.
Yeah.
With the death and whatnot.
Well, it's hard not to just wish the worst things didn't happen to you. Like, I wish that Thea didn't have those horrible
but I
nightmares.
Because I've had a good time getting to be these other people, and then, yeah, so...
I wish the potatoes weren't so expensive. Okay. There we go. Let's wish for later.
Yeah, for sure, that one.
You got your money back.
I do have one. I don't wish that it would have turned out differently, but it would have been interesting to do it and see where it led. was Flint's proposed deal with the Red Wizards of Thay.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're like, hey, your soul's going to belong to us, but like we can fix this problem for you. So it just would have been really interesting to like go down that path and see what would have been down
Why
there.
Why didn't you go down that path? I don't know if we ever talked about that.
It sounds a little sketchy to like bargain your soul to somebody for hundreds of years in exchange for this one favor. Yeah.
That's fair.
When like, and Flint's a go-getter. He can usually handle these things on his own.
Yeah.
I mean, didn't realize there was a flying pyramid lich involved, but yeah, you know, what can
knowing
you do?
What Flint knows now, would his answer be different?
It might be.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, hey, if he would have had a different answer, well, maybe New Lara would have not died. And maybe, you know, he would have found a good vessel for Bort and everything would have been like awesome.
No darkest timeline, maybe, you know.
Potentially no darkest timeline.
So are you saying you created the darkest timeline, Tom?
It's entirely possible.
If we trace the threads back, it's all to Tom saying no to the Red Wizards.
Russ had that big like board with all the cork and the string, and he just had to cut the biggest string away when I passed on the opportunity. So.
Yeah, sorry, guys. Everybody's got to die now. I have no story left.
Here's another question that kind of maybe fits a little bit into this one. Calisalvo, I hope I said that right, asked, do resurrection and true resurrection exist in the Dungeons and Dragons world? And did Flint and Thea have 1,000 gold pieces at the end of season one?
Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah, yes. I think yes, and yes.
Yes, resurrection exists.
Yep.
Is it widely used? No. Did they have 1,000 gold pieces? Oh, fuck yeah, they had so much money.
And also, like, different, like, sections of different cities just always gave us stuff like armies and weapons and things.
I think the root of this question is why didn't we bring New Lara back?
Yeah.
Or why haven't we brought New Lara back?
I actually...
That seems to be the underlying question in the
which
question.
Which comes up a lot.
One of my spells that I could have taken in my last level up was a resurrection spell. And we had a lengthy conversation about...
We had a chat about it.
About what... Like, would we want that to be something that would happen? Because, I mean, we're all a team. I didn't want to be like, oh, I'm going to choose a spell. And then all of a sudden, Carla's going to have to play like some sort of resurrected New Lara. It'd be weird. She'd be all burnt and shit. And anyway, but, you know, I think that like what Carla said was like true. It's like that's how it was supposed to end for New Lara. And while I guess... I could have brought her back with a resurrection spell. It didn't feel like the right thing to do. Anyone see that Buffy episode?
That's what I was just thinking. I can't remember if that's what we talked about when we talked about it, but it does seem like that, like when they brought, I guess, spoilers for Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Yeah, like,
when they brought Buffy back and were like, we saved you. And she was like, I was in heaven, you stupid dipshits.
I was thinking a completely different Buffy episode.
Oh.
When Dawn did the spell to bring back their dead mother.
Oh, yes. Like, you just don't know what
she
you're
knocked
gonna
on
get.
The door, and then they cut the spell off before they opened it because they were just like, she wouldn't be the same.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, also could have, like, played into a really cool kind of timeline of this undead, new dead, live New Lara.
Like,
but
like, how that all worked out. Like, what... how she would have been or what she would have been.
But I think it immediately
totally
would have gone
been
dark.
Interesting,
it immediately would have had a dark tone and, you know, the darkest timeline was coming for us. We didn't want to speed that up. So, yeah, there we go. Good question, though. Thank you.
Yeah, I think sometimes with these questions, too, is just because there were a few untied strings in New Lara's story, which we've all, again, talked about. And there are things that were at play for New Lara that could still be at play for Thea and Flint and whoever Carla is playing at the time, the Yenbol.
Or whoever, who knows?
Or whoever.
Could be three different people by
that's
the time.
Right. She plays it like free and easy with these characters now. No emotional attachment.
Yeah. Amy and Sick 1 week. Don't worry. Bring Lip Syncy and Lex back. We'll just do a three character
perfect.
Carla. But yeah, so we do have plans or thoughts on how, or at least I do, on how we can tie some of that back up. Because, you know, we want to wrap up this story and have alluded to some of those things still being present within the world. But we've just, at least from a story writing standpoint, we've decided to start wrapping things up and working on one thing at a time, which for a while after Rise of Tiamat, it was just like, we can do whatever we want.
We're the decimators of dragons.
Story thing. And then we're like, wait, oh no.
Too many things.
So many things at play. So now we're just like, we're working on Flint's problem. Flint has a problem. We're going to try and solve it as best we can, good, bad, or otherwise. And then after that, you know, something naturally will come up and we'll deal with that. And then we'll keep going until whatever happens, happens.
Yeah. And not to be too like real, but you know, sometimes when people are gone,
they're just
aren't
gone.
Wrapped up. And, yep. and that's yep. part of what yeah. is wonderful and terrible about being a mortal being.
That's right. The impermanence of life.
Yeah. That's right.
Tom, read us another one.
Okay. Russfall asks, is the ghost of Grants is going to show up in the Darkest timeline or the Moot Sully Glim timeline?
I mean, if you listen to our ads, he's already shown up in the Darkest timeline.
Yes.
It's true.
It's true.
And he's not technically a ghost either.
He's not a ghost.
Yeah, but he's not a ghost.
We don't know what he is because we haven't.
We don't know what he is.
So over on Patreon, we have a goal where we're going to be playing through a Grancis and Flamekins episode, mm-hmm. which could, depending on how you three plan it, could have some ties. It's not just a fun gaff. It could have some ties to the story. I don't know what you're planning.
It'll mostly be a fun gaff.
Neither do we.
We've been planning extensively because that is coming up this month.
Very soon.
2 weeks.
So,
oh,
don't worry, Russ. We're ready.
I knew it.
We got this.
This whole question and answer thing isn't just a subtle dig to see how much you've prepped. but we will be.
It was not that subtle.
But patrons will be seeing a little bit of Grancis, and I'm hoping, if all goes to plan, maybe you know that it will be like a launch point to reintroduce those characters in a fun way. But we'll see. We'll see what happens. I'm just there to have a good time and play Flancis.
Oh dear,
Flancis. Carla, why don't you tackle a question for us?
Will Rolf get his own spinoff and team up with Opal and Flamekins? I like this unorthodox triad of characters. Opal and Flamekins would Rolf. Be so great and insufferable.
Yes. Yeah.
Nothing would ever get accomplished and it would be very annoying to get there.
But in a fun way. I'd love to listen to it.
Rolf could get like bewitched and like...
Sure.
Begin to talk.
Oh, more than just his one hee-haw in the latest episode.
That's right.
Yeah. I do love Rolf, but you're right. He doesn't.
It's not
he's
a real
just always
contributor.
There for us.
Yeah.
Hey, he hauls our ass around.
There.
Yeah.
He does haul
us around. I'm sorry. So if we're willing to give Grancis that he saved you and transported you everywhere, it's Grancis here, and Rolf is just like a step above because he doesn't talk.
That's right.
Yep.
And Fair he just enough. Waits patiently where we leave him.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
He's cool with being transported around magically. Doesn't ever bat an eye about
it.
He's
so That's chill. True.
What a guy.
Team Rolf.
Team Rolf.
Sounds like Teen Wolf.
Right.
Teen Wolf.
So maybe you've given us the idea now, and it sounds like everybody's on board.
Totally.
So we're in it. Final question. Thank you, Jess. What do you look forward to? Let's do that differently. What do you look forward to most in the next year for your character or the story in Russ's case?
Wow, that assumes that I have the foresight to look a year in advance with my character.
I can answer it.
Do it.
I'll answer it for Moot because I don't know what's happening with Flint. So
yeah,
we'll take it down that road when it comes. But for Moot, I'm most looking forward to him either having some sort of catastrophic failure when he has his wild magic surge or some sort of like amazing success.
Yeah.
I want both of those things to happen. And I don't want him to like die because of the failure, but I want it to be spectacularly bad.
Yeah. That'd be fun.
I think with Yenbul, just like getting to know her better, because it's just been like catastrophe, unfortunately. So that'll be nice. And I think with Glim, like, I want her to keep her sparkle.
Yeah.
Because I think, like, it's getting harder in that, like, you know, just she's so sheltered and now she's, like, actually out in the world and seeing that things can be not awesome all the time. And that's good. That makes for good personal growth. But also, I want her to, like, keep her high spirits and positivity.
I think even in one of the last episodes, you said something like, I mean, I knew I was supposed to save the world, but I just didn't think it was going to be this hard.
Yeah, because she really had, like, no challenges
her
life.
Everything's come easy to me. I just kind of assumed saving the world was going to be a piece of cake.
Exactly. So, you know, learning that the world is a hard place is good.
Yeah.
But, you know, staying optimistic is also good.
Well, I suppose for Thea, I'm really hoping to see some sort of resolution with the whole new Lara thing. Because Darkest Timeline trumped visions and weird stuff like that for now. Now that I've said that, I was like, right, how many of you have a vision?
Should work one of those back in.
But I don't know if it's they're just not happening because... Yep. Of Orcus's
because there was a tower
or something.
Or,
yeah. I don't know.
Well, you also haven't been sleeping all that much, too.
Oh,
right?
That's true.
Sure.
Yeah.
Which
but I would assume
amplify.
That would amplify things. But I mean, I don't know. So I'm hoping to find some sort of resolution with that. I want to know what's going on with her. I want to know if she secretly has that fucking dagger on her somewhere. I don't know. I know nothing. So that's what I'm hoping with Thea. And with Sully... I don't know. I just don't want Sully to change at all. And I feel
he's just
like
a perfect little creature and I love him.
He is. I just feel like, I don't know, he's awesome and is just perfect in every way and has no flaws whatsoever.
Even said though, Sully has changed, right?
Like, he has. He's become a lot of a, like, it used to be all me, 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 me. But we're not talking about has he changed. It's talking about wishing for the future.
Well, I mean, that was a question that was asked is how have your characters changed from session one? And I think we've kind of dabbled on it for the newbies because we covered the older ones in depth. But I think, I think it's just they're all changing all the time. Like Moot started out worried about other people's safety, like his family's safety from his magic. And then got swept up into like, we're saving the world. I'm in, like, don't even worry about it. Like, it's just, he's along for the ride now, so. And I think Sully's the same way.
And totally willing to try, right? Moot's so willing to, like, try the magic now, when before he was like, I hate
scared
this, get it out of me, what's wrong with me? And now he's, like, looking for teachers and just, like,
I gotta
trying shit out. Yeah.
That's right. Yeah, just doing it, regardless of the consequences.
Or the consequences.
That's right.
It's his.
And Russ, why don't you wrap it up with potential story stuff?
Yeah. I mean, what I'm excited about is tying up some threads. And not to say that we have created too many threads, but I think we've created enough threads that there are enough things going on that tying them up in a satisfying way will feel good. And a lot of them are hinge on each other. So as you figure one out, it can change the outcome of the next one that happens, right? Like if Flint lives or if Bort lives or if they both live, like that changes possibly your like party dynamic again, like how you approach, like Thea's came from the Decimator of Dragons. And then it was Thea and Flint, you know, it was Flint and Thea for a long time, quote unquote. And now it's just Thea with a couple of people she's pretty recently met. I think you said in one of the recent episodes, like, I'm not from the Decimators of Dragons, I guess. Like when you arrived in Luskin, because you're the only one left. So
I don't like it.
To remake friends. And then go on this, you know, vision quest with Dagger or, you know, chasing down Orcus, like is Yenbul and Tulgir or Yenbul and Bort or Lipsinki and Bort or whoever, you know, gets tagged along, right? Like, are they going to want to do that? And how are we going to figure that out? Like, tying up all those pieces and now all the moving cups that we have of different characters and investment in the big bad problem. With Flinthia and Nulara, it was like, we are the team, we have been recruited as the team, and now the team has shifted so many times.
Well, and there was only like the one problem for them. Yep. Sure, there was other things, Dagger, Bort, but like there was one thing. Yep. And now there's like one thing and eight other things.
And it's everything.
And that one
it's
thing
the whole
is
world.
Bad, right? Like it's, it's like, hey, Tiamat, you what's up?
Maybe you come back and take care of this for us, and then we'll take care of you again.
The other thing, that too, because we jumped forward in time, like the catch up with the younger characters as events start to kind of trigger and what they do and how that plays out too. And then, all the things. It's all the threads that I'm excited to kind of hopefully tie some of them up in the next year. And see what happens. Yeah, that's what I'm excited for. All right, friends. I think that's the end of the questions.
Totally.
I think so.
If you sent us questions, thank you very much. You can join us on Discord, Facebook, and Twitter. All the links are down in the descriptions. We would love to chat with you over there. And next time we do a round of questions, yours could be in the mix as well. But until next week, have a great week. We'll talk to you soon.
Bye.
Thank you. Bye.
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 Dungeons & Dragons stars Amy Moore, Carla Maxted, and Tom Laird, with Russ Moore as your Dungeon Master. Editing, production, and sound design by Russ Moore. This episode featured music from Epidemic Sound. A huge thank you to our supporting producers, Gabriel Lynch, Jessica Babiuk, Mark Hartless, Stevie, Cat Waterflame, Jacob Madden, Christian Brown, Devin Michaels, Aaron Stevens, Ray Serbeck, and Eric Houlihan. To support Dungeons & Dragons and our many other productions, and help us reach two very important goals, including the release of that Grancis Flamekins episode you heard about in this episode, please join our Patreon at patreon.com/dumbdragoncast. You can also follow us at facebook.com/dumbdragonpodcast and on Twitter at dumbdragoncast. Thank you for listening. You have a great week. We'll talk again soon. Dungeons & Dragons is a Dumb Dragons production.
The Fable & Folly Network, where fiction producers flourish.
Whoa! Check out this place.
You'd love to retire here?
What is this? Oh God, what have you done?
Spaceships.
Season 2.
Out now on podcast platforms across the galaxy.